Hey everyone, and welcome back to a brand new episode of the 1001 Films Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Gardner, and today I'm going to be running down my thoughts on the 10 nominees for Best Picture at the Academy Awards. I'm going to go through them one by one and just give you my thoughts on all of them, and I hope you guys like it, so let's get to it. All right, just running down the list of the Best Picture nominees. I'll just read them off to you here real quick. You've got Coda, The Power of the Dog, West Side Story, Dune, King Richard, Don't Look Up, Nightmare Alley, Belfast, Licorice Pizza, and Drive My Car. Now, just to give you some complete transparency, I've seen all of these, except for Belfast and Drive My Car. I did not finish Licorice Pizza because, I just couldn't do it. I hated it so much, and it was just not a good movie. It's not well written, in my opinion. The characters are despicable. They are unrealistic. They are not people that I would ever care about in any situation. So I just did not like that movie at all, and I just don't understand the love that it's getting from all these awards shows. It recently just won the BAFTA, which is basically the British Academy Awards, for best original screenplay. And I just can't understand it. I have no sympathy and no interest in getting to know any of the characters. They are not likable. The chemistry between the main couple is not believable at all. So I just don't understand. I just don't get it. That's fine. You know, every once in a while, there's going to be a movie that you just don't get, that other people like, and that's okay. It's a very divisive movie. There's some, heinous Asian stereotypes in the film that I was completely caught off guard by, and was surprised that, you know, in this day and age, that something like that was approved by a studio, that was even written by a screenwriter, that was approved by the director and the producers in the studio, and that, and, you know, those kinds of things made it into the film. At first I thought it was, like an interesting way to kind of, because I'll just tell you what it is there's a character that's speaking to a Japanese woman in a very heavy, very thickly put on, really bad Asian accent, and I thought, okay, maybe this is an interesting way of showing that this person can speak Japanese, but they're just not gonna, instead of having him speak Japanese and subtitle it, they're just gonna have him speak in this stereotypical Asian accent. So that, I thought, okay, that's interesting. Is very offensive. So I don't know why they would choose to do that. But then he does it again in another scene, and he openly says, oh, I don't speak Japanese. You know, like, he'll speak in this very thick Asian accent in English to this Japanese woman, and then she'll speak back to him in Japanese. And it seems like he's, at first, like he's translating for her, But then the character says, you know, another character asks him, oh, what did she say? And he says, I don't know. I don't speak Japanese. So I'm like, okay, is that supposed to be funny? Is that supposed to be, you know, a joke of some kind that you're speaking to this Asian woman, to this Japanese woman in that way? Like, I don't get it. Like, if you were trying to be funny, it didn't work. And even if it did work, like, it's still offensive. So, I don't know. And there's a lot of stuff, there's a lot of moments like that in the movie where I'm just like, okay, is this, what do you want me to feel? You know, what are you trying to say to me? What is the point of what you're, you know, of what you're trying to do with this movie? And I just didn't get it. Like, it was just over my head or wherever it was, like, it didn't hit me and I didn't care. So I didn't even care to finish the movie. I guess that's my thoughts on Licorice Pizza. I started to watch Drive My Car. I've heard it's really good, but it's a 3-hour subtitled Japanese film, that apparently is very, very slow paced, with lots of very long takes of people just driving and no dialogue or anything. So, I want to get around to it, but, it might take me a minute. Belfast, I have not seen, but I have heard it's good. Those three, Belfast, Licorice Pizza, and Drive My Car are the three movies that I have not finished yet. So I can't really, besides Licorice Pizza, I can't really comment on Drive My Car or Belfast because I have not seen them yet. But of the other seven that were nominated, my favorite by far is Coda. And Coda stands for Child of Deaf Adults. And it's about a girl who is the only hearing person in her family. So she has two deaf parents and a deaf older brother. And she is a singer. And she wants to be a singer. And this movie, Coda, is exactly the type of movie that needs to be made but never gets made anymore. It's not flashy. It's not spectacular in any of its technical filmmaking aspects. The editing is not particularly unique. The cinematography is not particularly unique. But it accomplishes what I think every film needs to accomplish first, which is tell a good story with compelling characters. To tell a unique and engaging story with characters that you care about. There's another movie on this list that is the exact opposite of Coda, which I will talk about next. But Coda is a film that just does not get made anymore, and it's a shame because it is a very heavily character-driven film that engages you, and it's so positive and so uplifting and so just emotionally encouraging. You can't watch this movie and not feel good about life after it's over. You know, and it's such an interesting premise for a film too. You know, that there's this teenage girl that loves to sing, but no one in her family can hear. You know, there's a line where her mom is talking to her in the film, and her mom says, if I was blind, would you want to be a painter? You know, it's like this, that same thing, you know, like if it's just like her parents. This is singing is something that she is so passionate about, but her parents just cannot understand. They literally have no way of understanding how good of a singer she is. It's physically impossible for them. And there is a scene between her and her dad, that I think is the emotional high point of the film, where she sings for him and they figure out a way for him to be able to quote unquote hear her sing. The actor that plays the dad, Troy Koster, is a shoe-in to win Best Supporting Actor, and I think it is simply because of that scene. And it's just a wonderful, heartwarming, it's nearly a perfect film, I would say. Moving on to the next one, the exact opposite of what I would say Coda is The Power of the Dog. Is that you can't watch this movie and not say that it's not technically expertly crafted. The cinematography is gorgeous. The settings and the costumes and the music is just... It's an incredible film to look at. It's an incredible film to see and to watch and to realize... you know, that this is a film that was made by artisans, and masters of their craft, editors, cinematographers, costume designers, set decorators. It is a gorgeous looking film, but it is, a film where I just did not care about the story. I did not care about the characters. It's long, it's boring. The last, 20 minutes or so, the last 15 minutes are really, the meat of the story doesn't really happen until then, until the last 15 minutes or so. And, which those last 15 to 20 minutes are incredible, but, it's not worth the 2 hour wait to get there. It's too long. It's too boring, and the payoff is while it is good, it does not justify the snooze fest that precedes it. So those are my thoughts on Power of the Dog. And the next film is West Side Story, the Steven Spielberg remake of the classic musical. I kind of... have a love-hate relationship with this film because, first of all, nobody asked for it. Nobody wanted it. Nobody thought it was necessary to remake or readapt this play, especially when the original from the 60s is so... It's held up to like the that's like the gold standard for movie musicals is West Side Story. So in that sense, it's the film is ultimately unnecessary. It's frivolous in a way, in that sense. But also with Power of the Dog, along with Power of the Dog, you can tell that it was made by master filmmakers. You can tell that Steven Spielberg, you know, after 6 decades, essentially, of making films, like, he's still got it. He's still got that energy and that passion of a young filmmaker, and he still has things to say. He still has stories that he wants to tell or retell from a different perspective, and that's what he does with West Side Story. And the acting is incredible for him to get, you know, performances out of these characters. Ariana DeBose, who is also a shoe-in for Best Supporting Actress. I don't think there's any way that she doesn't win that Oscar. And I think it's a shame that Rachel Zegler did not get nominated for Best Lead Actress. It's her first film, and she's the heart of the movie. She's... You know, she plays Maria, and, you know, Maria essentially is the main character of the film, or at the very least the co-lead. You know, she's the Juliet in this Romeo and Juliet story. So, you know, for Steven Spielberg to get those two performances out of those two actresses, I think is something special and, you know, deserves to be recognized. But like I said, it's ultimately unnecessary, and nobody really wanted it. So, and there's just, there's certain differences between this one and the original. Like, just for one, the song, Cool, I think it's called Cool or Cool Boy. Like, that song is, in the original film, it was after the Rumble. So after Riff and Bernardo both get killed, they sing that song, and it has so much power in that context of like, oh, the leader of our gang was just killed, but we need to stay calm, we need to, you know, keep our heads about ourselves. And it just has the way that it's sung and danced in the original film, it has so much power. But in this Steven Spielberg version, they put it before the Rumble. They put the song before the Rumble, and I think it completely guts that that song of all of its emotional power by putting it before the Rumble instead of after. So there's just, you know, there's little things like that that make it different. And I've never read the original play or seen the original, you know, production of the original Stephen Sondheim play, but apparently that's how it was in the original stage production, is that Cool was sung before the Rumble. But I think if you put it after, it just has so much more emotional weight to it that it just, for me, it just didn't work as well. You know, I was surprised when I found that out, that it was, you know, that it was before the Rumble originally, just because it just worked so well afterwards emotionally. So like I said, West Side Story is good, but it is, you know, like I said, ultimately unnecessary, and you know, it was not needed. And then the next film is Dune, directed by Denis Villeneuve, who is one of my favorite directors working today. And this, again, it's an excellent film, excellent production design, editing. The score by Hans Zimmer is incredible. Hans Zimmer, his scores are not melodic. They don't have, you know, leitmotifs like, John Williams would, or someone else like that. You know, Hans Zimmer's scores are more like a sound. Like he has a sound and a dissonance about his music that really elevates the films that he scores. And Dune is no exception. And I definitely think that, you know, this movie is almost 3 hours long, and I did not feel it at all. It just blew by. It was so fast paced. It was so interesting. I've never seen the original David Lynch film, and I've never read the novel. So, I kind of had a little bit of trouble, knowing all the ins and outs and the politicking, I guess you could say, among the characters. So I was, it was a little hard to follow, but I think, if I watched it a couple more times, I would get it and I would appreciate it more. I've only seen it once, but you know, it's an excellent film. I really enjoyed it. It's highly entertaining. I don't think it has any shot of winning Best Picture. I think that is, I hope Coda wins, but I think it's between Coda and Power of the Dog at this point. You know, it could potentially win Best Adapted Screenplay, and I think, you know, that's the one that it has the best shot at, because it's, you know, from what I've heard, I've never read it, but the novel is just so complex and just so, there's just so much in it for it to be able to be adapted into a film is, you know, is a difficult feat to master. But the one criticism I would have of Dune is that it felt like half a movie. When it got to the end, I felt like, okay, now we're about to get into it. Now the story is about to pick up and we're about to, you know, go on this journey with these characters. But then the movie was over. Then it just stopped. So those 2.5 hours or 3 hours or however long this movie is, it just blew by really fast. And then it just ended. And now I have to wait for part two. Yeah, that's the only criticism I would have of that film. Other than that, it's excellent. It's very, very entertaining. So the next film is King Richard, about Venus and Serena Williams' dad and their journey together, for him to kind of train them and get them to be the top tennis players in the world. And, you know, this film could have fallen into the cliche of the overbearing sports parent. I know, you know, most of you have been to Little League baseball games or soccer games or peewee football or whatever, where the parents are way more into it than the kids, and that the parents are kind of vicariously living through their children again, playing these sports. But I really think that this movie is not that. It could have, it very easily could have been that, but it is more about a parent's unyielding confidence in their children to succeed at the highest levels, in all aspects. You know, it shows the him training the girls as tennis players, but also that they have to get straight A's in school if they want to keep playing tennis. And you know, he said, and it's not just the two, Venus and Serena, it's all of his kids, all of, you know, his and his wife's kids, that he is really focused on making sure that all of them succeed in whatever field they go into. You know, there's a scene, which is my favorite scene in the movie, where the neighbor, where their neighbor sees Richard training Venus and Serena in the rain, and she thinks that he's doing too much, he's pushing them too hard, that it's not for their own good, that it's hurting them. So she calls the cops on him to do a welfare check on their family. And he says to these police, you know, Richard says to these police officers, "We have future tennis champions and doctors and lawyers in this house, and we're doing everything we can to keep them off these streets, to get them educated, and to give them a good life." And that scene is just so powerful, that he just believes so much in all of his kids to be able to succeed in whatever field they go into at the highest levels. And it's just an incredible performance by Will Smith. He's gonna win the Oscar. You know, again, it's a movie that's 2.5 hours long, but it just did not feel that long. It just flew by so quickly. And I just really enjoyed it, and you definitely should all see it if you have not. And then the next one is Don't Look Up, starring Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence and Jonah Hill and Meryl Streep, and there's Mark Rylance, and there's a lot of really good actors in here. It's written by Adam McKay. You know, he could be very political. He has been very political in the past. And this film is, you know, kind of an allegory for climate change. And I feel like it's just a little too heavy-handed. And, you know, the performances are good. I did have some laughs. There are some funny moments. He does poke fun at everyone, really, about everything. But I think the message, the climate change message, was just, it was too heavy-handed, and he just kept beating me over the head with it over and over and over again, and it just got annoying by the end of the film, and I was just glad that it was over when I got to the end of it. And then the last film I'm going to talk about is Nightmare Alley, directed by Guillermo del Toro and starring Bradley Cooper. And this is one of my favorite films of the year. It's about a circus sideshow, and all the characters surrounding, you know, that freak show at, you know, at the turn of the century, or the mid 20s or 30s or whatever, of these people, this traveling team of carnies that are, you know, running this sideshow. And I think that, you know, it's a shame that Bradley Cooper was not nominated for Best Lead Actor, because I think it's one of the best performances of his career. I mean, that ending scene alone was so powerful and so gut-wrenching to see where his character ends up. It's just an incredible film. It's got great cinematography. It's got amazing sets and, you know, amazing costume design. And, you know, like I said, the acting is incredible. I loved the story. The story is so engaging. It's so interesting to get a peek into the lives of these people that run this circus sideshow. And just to see how everything at the end just comes full circle. And to see Bradley Cooper's character realize that, it's just, I don't know, it's extremely well written. It's well acted. It definitely deserves the Best Picture nomination that it got. And, you know, I would put it maybe on the list of these 10 films. I would put it maybe number 2 as my second favorite behind Coda. It's just very entertaining. I love Guillermo del Toro's style. You know, that he deals with weird people and, you know, people's weird obsessions and desires, and he doesn't shy away from the strangeness of human nature in any of his films. And I really appreciate that, and I really like that he just goes for it, and he just makes the movies that he wants to make in his particular style that he wants to make them. And, you know, I really love to support films like that, of that have such a distinct artistic style. So that is the end of the list. Those are the top 10 nominees for Best Picture at the Academy Awards that will be announced this Sunday, the 27th of March. Again, let's just run them down real quick. Coda, Power of the Dog, West Side Story, Dune, King Richard, Don't Look Up, Nightmare Alley, Belfast, Licorice Pizza, and Drive My Car. I hope Coda wins. There's no way Nightmare Alley is going to win. It hasn't been winning anything, any awards in any other of the guilds or anything. But that is my second favorite film of the year. I hope it's not Power of the Dog. I hope they don't keep giving these snobby kind of films all these awards that nobody sees, that leave you depressed at the when you're done watching them. Coda is an excellent, uplifting, heartwarming film, and that's something that I feel like we really need in the world right now with everything that's going on. You know, there's so much division and hate, and I feel like Coda is a film that everyone can like, that everyone can get behind, that everyone can come away feeling good about themselves and good about life. So I hope it wins. Thank you guys so much for listening. You can come back here for new episodes, and you can also check me out on Twitter at SMGReviews and on my blog 1001filmblog.wordpress.com. Thank you guys so much for listening. Again, I really appreciate it, and I will catch you next time.